Good day, my friends. How are you folks doing today? More Truth here, and welcome to episode 11 of Morals Podcast. Last episode, we went through some random fun topics, just to get away from some of the serious topics I talked about with some guests on the previous episodes. But now today, we're going to be talking about some streaming topics, mainly some streaming topics. So before we get into that, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guests. First guest we have for today is Gibby Plays.
How's it going?
And we also have Arneezy 619.
Hey there, buddy.
All right, so Gibby Plays, tell us a bit about what you do in terms of content creation.
What I do in terms of content creation is I do graphic design on my free time for streamers, you know, like new and upcoming streamers that want to stand out in the crowd when they're just starting out. So, I mean, I feel like I do good with that, and that's what I bring to the table for new and upcoming streamers.
Okay, cool. So the icon that you have right now, that's the one you made for yourself?
Yep, that's the one that I made for myself.
All right, that looks pretty cool. I like the color scheme on it.
Thank you.
So what else do you do besides graphic design? Do you stream? Like, what kind of stuff do you stream?
Yeah, I do stream. I stream games like Call of Duty sometimes, maybe some mix and bunch of RPGs or MMOs. I have too many titles to name them all one by one, but I do stream a nice good variety of games, Rocket League being the all-time popular title in my library.
All right, cool. Awesome. What about you, Arneezy?
What I do in terms of content creation, stream on Twitch mostly. I stream a plethora of different genres of gaming games, except the first-person shooter due to the fact that I'm not very skilled at that. But, you know, I'll do play them, you know, if I feel like it. But mostly I stream fighting games, JRPGs, retro stuff. It's a wide variety of what I do. I'm still going on with the Beat Everything Challenge, so that's still a thing. I also do a podcast with my buddy Alpha Chaos as well, and upload some random stuff on YouTube.
All right, awesome. So we got a couple of streamers here, one that does graphic design and another one that does a podcast as well. Yeah, so no FPS games aren't easy. That means you don't want CSGO on your library?
You know, I will play CSGO if someone gifts it to me, and then I can finally, you know, not feel left out, I guess. I wouldn't mind some CSGO. That was the thing back in the day that I kept hearing about when I was younger. That was like the go-to game to play, was that and StarCraft.
Oh yeah, those are pretty good games back in the day. Surprisingly, CSGO is still pretty popular these days. One of them, but that's something we're going to talk about later. So we're going to go ahead and get into the first topic, which is starting out live streaming. Any folks want to begin, or do you want me to say some stuff about that?
You can go first.
Okay, all right. So, starting out live streaming. So, it kind of starts off with what you want to stream. The common one that most people would stream is gaming, because I guess it would be easy for most people. Sometimes people would go into other genres, like creative or IRL. It just depends on what you want to stream. And then once you figure out what you want to stream, it goes down to reaching out to your audience, trying to get yourself out there on social media, as well as on any streaming communities out there. Yeah. No, I'm not going to plug. I just plugged D2S on this. Whoops. Yeah, getting involved in social media and getting involved in various communities is a good way to get your live streams out there. Yeah, there will be times where you'll get zero viewers on your live streams, and that happens to me several times when I started out. But as long as you're consistent, you have a schedule, and you have a specific set of stuff you want to stream, then you're all set for that, in my opinion. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Well, when the thing is, yeah, you're right. You know, it's whatever you feel like what you're wanting to stream, you know, in the long run. When you're starting out, when I started out, I streamed straight from my PS4 because I didn't have like a really good PC or anything like that, or a capture card even to stream. To be honest, I really do not remember what my first game was that I streamed, because it was 4 years ago, three or four years ago. But then I started streaming some retro stuff from an old PC that I had from an emulator, you know, which was, I believe it was Super Mario RPG was when I first started streaming, because with me being old, I always like, you know, the old school games and things like that, you know, games that I played during my growing up and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So in terms of what you want to stream, it's always something that you enjoy playing. I mean, yeah, you're not going to start out with a high viewership, you know, and even if you play something like, what is it, Minecraft, which, you know, which is a popular game to stream, you know, you're going to get buried underneath, you know, all the, you know, popular streamers that stream Minecraft. But in the end, it's all about what you're wanting to play, not what you don't want to play.
Yeah, yeah, I get what you mean. And then, like you said, if you're trying to get into games that are really popular, it might be harder for people to find you. But then again, there's also communities that you can join, depending on what platform you stream on, which is, we're going to talk about that later. When I started out streaming, it was sometime in 2013. I was streaming under a different name, and I streamed League of Legends. And so at the time, I didn't think about, oh, I'm playing this because it's popular. I played it because I enjoyed it. I come back, I rebrand, and I just pretty much just play anything I enjoy. Not necessarily like the games that are popular, just stuff that I like.
So basically, you before the hiatus, you know, when you came back, you decided to convert to the way of the morals.
Yeah, sure.
Because if I remember correctly, I think you did mention that you were not a very nice person.
Yeah, I guess you could. Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, I was very immoral at that time. Yeah, yeah. Pretty
well,
much.
I mean, the way I always went about it when it came to streaming, starting out, I just usually stuck to games that I enjoyed, kind of like, you know, what the two of you said. Like I would take Rocket League, for example, since that's what I started out with, and I've put what, about 800 hours into the game alone. And
that's a lot. Wow.
Streaming it. And I streamed those 800 hours, so I gained my viewership, obviously, by connecting myself with the community there on Rocket League and putting myself out there to get myself somewhat noticed through Twitter, through the discussions in the forums, et cetera, et cetera. And, I mean, it kicked off from there. I mean, I don't have a huge follower base, but, I mean, that's where most of my community or most of my viewers came from. And I just see it as it's a long grind. It took me... For me, compared to other people, it took me like 7-8 months to build up 300 followers, something that takes people 2 or 3 years just to get like 200 followers. And that's because I stuck to one game, a game that was underrated and blew up. So, I mean, it's not like you have to just hop on PUBG and think you're going to get 4,000 viewers overnight. No, it's just you start off with one viewer, maybe zero, and you just got to do it consistently.
Yeah, yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah, it took me about a couple of years to reach 100 followers on Twitch. And at the time, I was doing like weekly streams, like once a week streams or once every other week. But yeah, it does take a while like to reach your first 100, depending on what you do, your personality, how you put yourself out there, and etc.
Exactly.
Dang, it took me 8 months to reach 100. What am I doing wrong?
Go ahead.
The way I always saw it is it doesn't hurt to lose.
As long as you're still growing and you learn from your mistakes.
I think he means it's okay to lose in public.
Yeah, like it doesn't hurt to turn around and shame yourself. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah, I get you. Like if you're doing like a 1v1 and it's like round 3 in Street Fighter 5 and then you suddenly disconnect.
Right, yeah, just like, you know, yeah, just purposely miss the move, just purposely miss it, and you just laugh about it afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that the frustration you had aren't easy on that moment.
No, see, he rage quit on me because he didn't want to lose his 27 win streak. See, I was better.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, we're starting out with that. There's also which software that you use to live stream. the coming one out there will be OBS, OBS Studio, and then there's also XSplit. But I think for me, it's personal preference of what software you use. I mean, I mostly use OBS Studio to stream.
OBS yeah. for life.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm the oddball out of the both of you. I use XSplit just because for some odd reason, OBS murders my CPU, where XSplit doesn't. And then on top of that, I find it to be more simplified for me, I guess, versus OBS's like complexity on doing everything raw and having the open availability to do everything. I just find XSplit, you know, being more simplified for a knucklehead like me to get things done and just to stream.
Yeah, you don't want to make it like too complicating in terms of your overlays and stuff like that. You just want to get straight into the game and just enjoy what you do.
Exactly.
I first started using XSplit because before I started streaming from, you know, my old PC that I had, you know, I had read that, you know, XSplit was a thing, and so I learned about it, and then, you know, when I started streaming on, you know, with XSplit, I just kept seeing this stupid pop-up in the corner, you know, my screen. It's like, high CPU usage.
The high encoding thing?
It was so annoying, and then someone told me about OBS, and I decided to try that out, and I've only had maybe two instances where OBS crashed on me or didn't cooperate with me. Once I got things down and learned a little more about it, OBS seems a little more easier. It has a lot of features that, you know, I don't even have to pay for. If you've noticed, you know, in my other streams that I've had like, you know, the nice overlay. I had like a scrolly thingy going on. I had like, you know, how my chat box was going and, you know, all that, you know, different transitional screens and all that fun stuff. You know, it's because I got to learn OBS a little better and, you know, using other programs to, you know, to make my streams look good.
Yeah, like stream labels and stuff like that.
Yeah, something like that. I tried going back to XSplit, and I don't know, it just seems a little different now since I'm more used to OBS. You know, things like that. There are some things that XSplit does, you know, that OBS doesn't. I think one of them was like, you know, capturing a specific window. You can do that on OBS, but it's a lot easier on XSplit. But I'll give them that credit. But other than that, a lot of features that are on XSplit and some that are paid features for XSplit, you can do for free on, you know, on OBS. So I think that's why I just use OBS for streaming.
Yeah. I remember when I started out streaming, I was using university internet, so my quality was pretty, pretty good. And then once I moved home, like, my quality just, like, went, you know? So, yeah, it took me, like, multiple tries to actually get the settings that I want to do so I can have a stable stream. Because right now, my upload speed is, like, less than 1 megabyte per second. So, like, the struggle is real. Yeah.
So let us all pray for Moral that he gets better internet.
Pray for that internet speed.
Yeah, there's like some stuff about settings that you have to do on XSplit or on OBS, but we're not going to talk much about that. I mean, I'll put some links in the description below if you want to like have that set up. But let's go ahead and talk about streaming platforms. The streaming platforms I know about are there's YouTube Gaming, and then there's Twitch, and then there's Beam, which is now Mixer. That's the only ones I know.
There's also StreamMe. Hitbox used to be a thing, but that is not a thing anymore. Bebo is a thing, I think. But there's some other ones on there. But I mostly stream on Twitch now. I dabbled in Mixer when it was Beam. I'm never streaming to YouTube Gaming again because I am seriously tired of getting an email right after my stream going, there's a copyright strike on my crap. I'm just not streaming on YouTube Gaming anymore. I'm just going to upload stuff to YouTube because.
All right, so you plan to do like stream highlights and upload that to YouTube rather than just the entire VOD?
Yeah, because like I've streamed a couple of times because I used Restream to stream on both Twitch and YouTube. And after I get done, like right away, I just get an email, a copyright strike. And I usually get multiple ones because, you know, the game that I'm playing that has in-game soundtrack, you know, that's made by artists, you know, there's that copyright strike for that. And I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah, that's yeah, the way I look at YouTube gaming, I think that they're more strict when it comes to like playing music or in general, like playing certain games.
I find that odd though, because I used to use Restream as well to stream between YouTube and Twitch as well for like Rocket League and a few other titles. And I used to play copyrighted music by the artists themselves while having the game's music play on low in the background, and I never received any copyright strike emails.
Oh, okay, so you kind of had like the in-game music and it kind of like overlapped with the music that you were playing and you didn't get caught with that?
I mean, the most that they did to me was that they muted the VOD for feedback. I mean, well, for playback, actually. So they muted the entire VOD because of copyrighted music being played, but I've never gotten a copyright strike.
He's the chosen one.
Yeah, sometimes on Twitch, I would get like a copyright thing, but I feel like with Twitch, it's easier to appeal. I think it's the same thing, I'm not sure, but like when you have copyrighted music, part of the VOD will be muted, or is it with YouTube gaming, the entire VOD gets muted?
I'm not entirely sure.
With Twitch, if you're playing music that is officially put out there by artists themselves, then that part of that song is copyrighted in the VOD. For YouTube, the same principle applies. So it's the same way on both platforms.
Okay. Yeah, just the one with the copyrighted material gets muted, not the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So I'm not sure how that is with Mixer or with Hitbox or those other streaming platforms.
So I was actually going to get into that with Mixer for people who can't afford a good streaming PC. The good thing about Mixer, in my opinion, is that if you have like an Xbox, since it's compatible with its firmware and software, you could stream right off the Xbox. And I mean, the chat's there and the transparent overlay on screen and everything, because I used to own an Xbox. So having Mixer built into your console to be used for streaming is really good. So that's the plus side to it. Now, if you have a PlayStation 4, there's a built-in streaming software to take you straight to Twitch. So either way, if you don't have a beast PC or have a PC in general that just can't handle it, you could always stream right from the console.
Yeah, and what's cool about that is, besides the fact that my Xbox One keeps telling me to stream on Mixer, is that on PS4, there's also, it's had the built-in, you know, streaming right from day one. Used to be Twitch and Ustream. Now they actually added YouTube Gaming on there, and I believe something else. I can't remember what, but they've added more stream platforms, of course. They can't add Mixer because, you know, it's a Microsoft product now. But, yeah, for those that don't really have, you know, a capture card or, you know, a good PC to stream off of, you know, yeah, if you have those consoles and you want to stream, it's a basic overlay, but it works for some people.
All you need is the console's camera that comes with it.
So how was it for you folks when you used Restream? You said you guys used Restream to stream on YouTube Gaming and on Twitch. How is that for you guys?
It's not bad. You know, you get one stream key for all of the platforms, plug it into OBS or XSplit. And I never really had any problems with it. What's really cool is that when you have the Restream chat up and you have your connected platforms, it actually shows you, you know, on the chat, like, where the chat's coming from. So I have a logo of the person that's chatting next to it. You know, they're chatting on YouTube Gaming or on Twitch or Mixer, et cetera, et cetera. So that's that way you don't have to switch in between windows to, you know, pay attention to your chat. It's all right there on one screen. They do have like a premium feature. I'm not entirely 100% sure on what that entails. I think it allows you to have more than two or three connected platforms, and other probably extra goodies and things like that. But the only thing I use Restream for is the chat, because I can actually, because I'm half blind because I have vision problems, so I have the Restream chat up because I can see it better. So, but that's basically the only thing that I use for Restream at the moment. I might go back and stream on multiple platforms. I'm not entirely sure, but that's what I use them for.
And what about you, Gibby? What was your experience with using Restream?
Well, basically the same experience as Arnezzi. It's just the chat is probably the best use of using it, in my opinion, because, you know, you don't have to prioritize which platform you're streaming off of. You just have to set it up and stream on both. And the chat is just the best feature of it all because it brings all the platforms together into one chat room. So if you have 2 viewers in YouTube and like 15 viewers on Twitch, it'll break it down by logo in the chat, like Arnezzi said. And it's very useful and helpful.
Yeah, I can see how convenient it is to use Restream. I guess for me, I know I haven't used Restream. I had thoughts about using it. I had thoughts about if I wanted to stream on Twitch and YouTube Gaming rather than just streaming on Twitch. But then I decided, like, for me personally, I just want to have my own YouTube videos be on YouTube, where I have my live streams on Twitch. I mean, that's just me personally. But other people could stream on any platform they want. So it's up to personal preference.
In the end, it's all about that preference.
Yeah, just find what's comfortable and stick with it.
All right, cool. So we're going to go ahead and get into the third topic, which is trending stream games. I know that would vary based on the stream platform. In terms of Twitch, some of the games are high up there, like League of Legends, PUBG, sometimes Hearthstone, sometimes CSGO. I'm not sure of any other ones there or on YouTube Gaming.
As of this recording, the top 5 are PUBG, League of Legends, Path of Exile, Hearthstone, and Grand Theft Auto 5. But yes.
Yeah, on Twitch.
On Twitch right now.
At the time of this recording.
Yeah, at the time of this recording, yes. And then behind that is Overwatch, IRL, and Minecraft on Twitch. And those are what I usually see unless something else goes down. So, for example, you know, during Evolution Championship Series, Street Fighter V was up there along with Tekken. So it all just depends on what's going on. But usually League of Legends is up there because there's apparently – I have a feeling that there's always a tournament going on every day.
The competitive scene is it's like it's really big right now. So for all of the Korean, European, and North American teams for League of Legends, that game is never going to leave the number 1 or 2 spot on Twitch at all. It's just a game that's always running. There's always tournaments being played. There's always scrims and matches being played, battles between the top 10 in the world across all regions. It's just that game it's been out for so long. It can't leave the top. I don't see it leaving the top.
Yeah, pretty much. In terms of on Twitch, yeah, League of Legends has been high up there, like, for the longest, around, like, 2013. That's when I started out. League of Legends has been pretty much high up there. And then once PUBG game came along, it became a top game, too. And then, Overwatch at the time was a bit big at the time, and then it kind of just died down a bit.
Yeah, but PUBG has only been out this year, right?
Yeah, it came out this year, yeah. I think it's still on Early Access, right?
Yeah.
What about in terms of YouTube Gaming? Are there any top games there that people stream? I'm not sure there's any way you can check that.
I mean, I don't really know if there is like a top 5 for YouTube Gaming. I would consider it to be GTA 5 just because a lot of the YouTubers that at least I watch pertain to remain around GTA or Pokemon Go. So, you know, for like IRL streaming, I guess.
Wait, Pokemon Go is still a thing?
Pokemon Go is still a thing, but it's only a thing to certain YouTubers and certain streamers. Otherwise than that, it's pretty ghost, in my opinion. It's kind of died off for me anyway.
Yeah, I remember back in the day when a lot of people were streaming Pokemon Go on YouTube Gaming with your phone. I think it had to do with like some updates or something as towards why that game kind of died down
I mean, the game's had a currently has had a spike in season two Pokemon or Gen. Well, sorry about that. Before anybody gets triggered, Gen two Pokemon has been released about 2, 3 months ago, and they just now released a few of the legendaries: Lugia, Moltres, Zapdos, just to name a few. But in my opinion, it's just I don't see any big whoop in the game anymore. I mean, they prolonged updates and things like that way too long. So, in my opinion, it's surprising that people still play the game.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Same thing with League of Legends. Like, I didn't know like it would still be a top game. I imagine it would be still.
I will tell you though, as of this recording, the top games right now, the top five on YouTube Gaming is Black Ops 3, GTA 5, Rainbow Six Siege, Minecraft, and NBA 2K17, with Overwatch and PUBG behind it.
Oh, okay. So that's a bit different compared to on Twitch. I mean, it seems like on YouTube Gaming, like the top games would be more towards like FPS games, kind of seems like.
I think it's because a lot of there's a lot of FPS content that gets up. It's that or Minecraft that gets uploaded more on YouTube. I think that's why. Not entirely sure. As I said, I don't conform to the super popular games. I'm a unique individual.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. I'm like one of the few people that don't play PUBG, so yeah.
I don't play it either. I could raise my hand to that one. But I mean, I wanted to kind of touch on it now that we're speaking about, I guess, streaming games in particular, like, the popular trends, is that even though the ones that you see are popular trends, doesn't mean you could stream it and get the same results as other streamers. I mean, there's other underrated and games that that you own on a regular basis, right? That you own on a regular basis, like Rocket League. It's not in the top 10, but it's a most watched game when it's like in tournament season. And then there's other games out there, like Overwatch. Overwatch is in the top 10, but it's only watched when tournaments are kicking off, and vice versa for a bunch of other games.
Yeah, it's only overwatched when there is a tournament.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes there'll be tournaments like in Overwatch or in League of Legends or in any other game, and that's when they get boosted up to at least in the top five. Or sometimes when a game's being speedrun or we have those speedrunning events, sometimes those games will be boosted up to the top five or the top 10 at least.
Oh, Games Done Quick is an amazing event. It's fun to watch. So yeah, a lot of those obscure games will pop up at the top of the page, and it's like, what is this game? I've never heard of this game until I saw it on Games Done Quick, and all that stuff. But yeah, and I will tell you, there are, depending on who you are, you can get away with streaming a super obscure game. There's a game that I enjoy that I play twice a year that I try to stream it. Legend of Dragoon. There was a really popular streamer that streamed it about 2 years ago and had about 4,000 views for that compared to my 10. So it all depends on, how big you are as well.
Yeah, and then there was some point when you were speedrunning Resident Evil 4, right?
Yep, beat it in like 2 hours and 10 minutes.
What was like the top one? Like the top time?
208, but I didn't submit that one
All right.
because I felt like it was a crappy run, so I was just like, hey, whatever.
Yeah. Tournaments, games done quick, events, or stuff like that. That kind of like influences which games are trending. But then there's games like League of Legends or PUBG, or games are going to be trending like pretty much the whole time. I mean, for a while at least. Anything about in Mixer? Any top games there? Or on Hitbox?
Well, for Mixer, I think the same thing really applies to like YouTube Gaming. The same top five goes for the same top five for Mixer, in my opinion, because you're streaming straight from your console. So you can only go off of what your library of games is. And that's really much to it. And everybody, or almost everybody, at least to my knowledge, has a copy of Call of Duty in their system or in their downloads. And it's just like, you know what? I want to play Call of Duty. Why not? I just stream it at the same time. And, you know, Mixer's kind of just one of those. Let me just pick a game, stream it, and continue on.
Yeah. I agree. Like, just because a game is trending doesn't mean you have to play it. I mean, it all comes down to your personality, engaging with your audience, and how you get yourself out there. That stuff is key towards actually getting an audience in your live streams, to be honest.
Just to put one thing out there. I personally don't like horror games as a genre, but Friday the 13th, and there was another horror game, it's called Dead by Daylight. If you play those games and you have a good personality and you are okay with screaming to the top of your lungs if you get scared easily, you would definitely have viewers watching you. I promise you that.
So, yeah, I mean, horror games are fun to play depending on what you play, but I just want to throw this in here real quick. As of this recording on Mixer, the top five is Overwatch, PUBG, Rainbow Six Siege, Fortnite, and Minecraft.
All right, a little bit similar to, YouTube gaming, a bit similar.
It doesn't matter. Minecraft is going to be in any kind of top trending list that's going on.
It's family friendly.
Yeah, and I still have successfully not been part of the Minecraft trend. Still.
I think there's also like a Roblox trend too. It's a little less popular than Minecraft, but plenty of family friendly streamers that stream games on Roblox, and they have like a variety of games that they have there.
Roblox is fun, I'm not going to lie. I used to play it a couple years ago.
I've seen some Roblox stuff, but I mean, unfortunately, Moral, your favorite game isn't trending right now. Except on YouTube gaming, it's like number 10.
Yeah, I have like no plans on streaming Roblox at all. That's not my target audience. I mean, yeah, I like playing Roblox here and there, but I'm pretty sure my audience doesn't want to see that. I just play it just casually, just on my own free time. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and go into the last topic, which is thoughts on non-gaming streams. I know earlier we mentioned IRL streams, and then there's creative streams. I'm not sure if there's any more non-gaming streams out there besides those two genres.
Bob Ross is amazing.
Oh yeah, amen to that, man. He's like the king of chill vibes right there. He's my inspiration.
Amen to that.
There, that's my thought. That is my thought on non-gaming streams. Just one thing, Bob Ross, that's it.
Yeah, he's the guy that started off creative, wasn't he?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Started off creative and IRL at the same time, if you think about it.
Yeah, creative and IRL kind of overlap in a way.
Yeah, I don't think we could really get into much detail about non-gaming streaming. I mean, there's two quote-unquote popular categories for non-gaming streams, and that's like creative, which is like you could stream yourself doing graphics or whatever else,
yeah, on or your artwork desktop or anything like that. Yeah,
and then IRL, just, you know, just have good internet and walk around the city. I mean, what more could you really ask for non-gaming?
Oh yeah, there's also talk shows as well,
which is where have my podcast on there, hint hint.
Yeah. That fits on talk shows or pretty much any sort of discussions with anybody else or pretty much.
I remember when social eating was like a thing. I don't know if it's still a thing now, but.
Oh, I remember.
It still is.
And there's also music as well. And, you know, that's some pretty cool stuff with the music. There's a guy on there I catch every now and then. I think his name is C. Curtis. He does the piano stuff. It's pretty cool things he does. But, I mean, it's hard to have a creative stream when you have the god Bob Ross on there, you know, yeah. Every Monday and Friday, and then the yearly marathon. I mean, oh, and of course they just started Twitch Presents with Power Rangers a few months back, and now I think they're doing anime right now. I think they're done with that, but yeah, they did a Power Rangers and then the anime. And I think they're going to do – I think they did a Mr. Rogers Neighborhood. I don't know if that was already.
I think that was done. I don't remember. I think they were done.
Yeah, but I mean, thoughts on non-gaming. I mean, it's kind of cool that Twitch decided to implement that because for those that don't remember, back when the PS4 launched, there was a game on there called The Playroom, and there was an incident with that, with a streamer, and they said that, you know, any non-gaming content is going to get a channel ban or a suspension. But now that they brought in, you know, creative, music, you know, IRL, you know, all that, it's kind of cool. It's like a breath of fresh air, you know, when it comes to, you know, watching Twitch. You know, you don't want to see someone game, you just want to see someone just walk around and, you know, talking to people and whatnot. And that's a cool thing right there. It's nice that Twitch is embracing the non-gaming stuff, because, to be honest with you, I myself don't want to watch someone gaming. You know, I want to, you know, check out Bob Ross and just chill and him talk about Liquid White and all that stuff. So, you know, happy accidents and all that, you know. Yeah, and so, yeah, it's a cool thing to have, you know, the non-gaming stuff. That's my thoughts on it, because, you know, in the end, it's all about what you enjoy watching.
Yeah, and creative doesn't have to necessarily be like just doing art or crafting something. Because I know somebody that was doing creative that was actually like editing a video on stream, and I'm surprised that actually fits under creative. So that's pretty interesting. And for music, there's somebody I knew that did like beatboxing. Sometimes he did under music, sometimes he did under IRL. So yeah, some of the time, some of those genres might overlap. And then, there's, like you said, there's also talk shows where you do your podcast live. I'm still waiting for the next episode.
Yeah, you kind of were there for the last episode, and then I was starting to talk crap about you, and then you were, like, gone.
Oh, really? Well, yeah, good thing I missed that part. Yeah, what are your thoughts, Gibby, on streaming, on gaming streams?
I mean, kind of like what Arnezzi said, it just gives you, in my opinion, it gives you more options. So if you, like, want to become a streamer tomorrow, you know, you got the free time. You don't have to turn around and buy PUBG and stream it. You don't have to do this or have to do that. You're given the free will to do as you want. And, like, the music, the music category, one of my friends is a DJ. He actually uses the music category with Restream. And he pulls in like 10,000-15,000 viewers just DJing live at a concert, and that's all he's doing. And it gives you an eye opener to something else that you don't have to sit behind a screen and do.
Yeah, it's cool that I think on YouTube gaming is mostly gaming, but I'm not sure if people are doing like these non-gaming stuff on YouTube gaming. I'm not completely sure. I think they do, right?
Not from what I've seen.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen anything like it.
Yeah, but it's cool. Twitch is implementing stuff outside of gaming, because I know from my experience, I don't want to watch just gaming streams. It'd be cool to watch different stuff every once in a while. I just wish that could be implemented on other platforms too.
Yeah, true.
Bob Ross is still a god to us, though.
Amen. Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Something we both all agree on. Yeah, let's go ahead and get into final thoughts. So, like, anything that you guys took out of any of these four topics, or any last words you guys want to leave the podcast with?
After you, Arnezzi.
What I'd like to say is, you know, I hope that you've all, you know, taken a liking to what we've talked about. And all I could say is just have fun streaming. Just have fun doing what you like doing. I started streaming because I wanted people to know, to see what I have fun doing. I stream for fun. You know, that's why I don't conform to, you know, whatever the super popular game is. You know, I play fighting games mostly, you know, JRPGs, niche titles, retro. That's because I enjoy them. So if you're going to start streaming, stream something that you will enjoy. You know, don't want to be miserable while you're streaming. You got to have fun with it.
Yeah, the same thing really applies, just like Arnezzi said. Just, you know, pick up the controller, play a game that you enjoy, and have fun. I mean, there's going to be moments where you want to be serious while you play, which is fine. But just remember, you're setting yourself up to entertain other people, not have people turn away from you because you are focused on something instead of, you know, trying to entertain. We understand you want to be good, but try to be good in a funny manner. So, you know, try to mess up every once in a while on purpose and see how it turns out. You know, it doesn't hurt to get a few laughs and a few mistakes or hiccups here and there, you know. So if you're doing a speed run, you know, just mess it up. Start it all over. Have something for the viewers to turn around and come back and be like, yeah, remember when you messed up that 4-hour speed run, you had to do it all over? You know, it gives people something to come back and talk to you about. So, yeah.
Yeah, like Arneezy said, happy accidents.
That's really all it is.
Yeah, what I want to take out of this is basically when you're starting out live streaming, pick something that you enjoy and stick with it. You could might even branch out to other stuff, whether it's gaming or creative or anything outside of those two categories. Pick something that you enjoy, stick with it. Yeah, enjoy yourself while you're at it too. Don't just focus too much on, oh, I have 0 viewers, maybe I should just stop talking. Or I have 0 viewers, maybe I should just stop streaming. No, there will be times where you have 0 viewers, but that doesn't mean, oh, you gotta stop streaming. Eventually, if you're consistent enough and you're entertaining, eventually you'll have 1 viewer. I remember at times when I would have 0 viewers, and eventually I had like one or two viewers every other stream or every stream. And so that's how it's with live stream. You just gotta be patient with it and get yourself out there and be consistent. And for streaming platforms, again, it's personal preference. If you like streaming on YouTube Gaming, go for it. On Twitch, go for it. Mixer. Or if you want to restream and stream on multiple platforms, that's cool as well. As long as, like I said earlier, as long as you're entertaining, you're consistent, and you just have a good time. And for trending games, like we said earlier, just because something's trending doesn't mean you have to play it. I mean, you could if you want to, but don't feel like you're forced to. I mean, you could play games that someone isn't even streaming at all, that nobody's streaming a certain game. You can go ahead and do that. Then again, you might not be found easily. Depends on what you want to do. But either way, you just got to be patient with it. Eventually, you'll have a live viewer watching your streams. But it just takes some hard work and dedication towards that. And for non-streaming, non-gaming streams, if you want to get into that, that's cool as well. Again, it's be something that you enjoy. If you like doing art, if you like doing music, or if you like doing talk shows, something like this, then yeah, go for it. Like, do something that you enjoy. That's the main thing. Just enjoy yourself, make content you enjoy, and just enjoy the ride.
Amen.
That's some good stuff right there.
Yeah, and with that said, that concludes episode 11 of Morris Podcast. I would like to thank Gibby Plays and Arneezy619 for being my guests for today.
Thanks for having me.
No problem.
If you enjoyed the video, feel free to give it a like, share, comment down your thoughts. I'll have some questions as my pinned comment. It helps a lot. More support, very much appreciated. Also, check out Gibby Plays and Arneezy619. I'll have their links in the description below if you want to check them out, check out what content they do. And yeah, until next time, thank you folks for watching. Take care. Have an awesome day. And let the morals be with you.